months have brought changes in our nation like never before. Changes in our world. And I fear that what's happened, you know, a lot of things that recently got passed in Congress, it's not just about the money. It's about an intrusion on freedoms in every way. And we're going to see this continue on. But here we are. We're reading in the book of the Revelation. We're in chapter number 8. I'm sorry, I didn't put the opening slide up, Amber. I don't have that capability on mine. So that's okay. There you go. Silence in heaven. I changed the background, but I didn't change the colors of the letters. That's what happens whenever I do that and Amber doesn't. Okay. So because you can't see it very well, that's my fault. But there's silence in heaven. So let's read a couple verses. Verse number 1 of Revelation 8. It says, "And when he'd opened the seventh seal." Now here's Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. He has been unrolling the seven sealed scroll, and as he unrolls the seventh seal or opens it, out of this comes the seven trumpets. And later on we'll see the seven vials that will come out of it. But it says in chapter 8 and verse number 1 of the Revelation, it says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour." Now, we talked about this last week, and we determined that it was not as many preachers in the past have believed, and they said, this is evidence that there's no women in heaven. So, no, I know some of you are like, yeah, that's not what this is. I believe that, well, let's go back in America today. Before many of the sporting events and all of that, they'll have a moment of silence, and that's a remembrance of something that devastating that happened. Well, this is silence in heaven. And this is because I believe that heaven knows what is about to happen. And it's like all of heaven pauses. And I don't know if we can begin to imagine what this is like, because heaven is a place of joy, it's a place of praise, it's a place of worship, it's a place of song, it's a place of all of that. And it's noise, beautiful noise, though. But then all of a sudden, silence happened for half an hour in heaven. This has got to mean something that is beyond what we can even imagine. Well, there's silence there, and John is there in the midst of this. And he says in verse number 2, "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of," and I had you guys last week, I told you if you circle words, I like to circle the word "all" whenever it shows up. Your prayers, my prayers, are being recorded in heaven. They may not be being answered at this point, but God takes note of those. There are some prayers that can't be answered until later on, but God hasn't forgotten us. The prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. Make no mistake about it. Whenever you pray to the Heavenly Father, you have access directly to the throne of the God of the universe. And there's no one in between. We go directly to God. It says in verse number 4, "And when the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand, the angel took the censer, filled it with fire of the altar, and cast it unto the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake." I really believe that this is a foreshadowing of events about to come. That angel takes that fire and throws it down, and the noise, remember, no noise. No noise, silence. What's the first noise? The thunderings and the earthquakes and all of that. And then you have in verse number 6, "And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound." So last week we covered there's silence in heaven. And then we dealt with there is a service at the altar where it involved the preparation, the prayers, the really, God is looking for somebody to say, "Here am I, send me. Here am I, use me." What's the greatest ministry you and I can have today? I believe it's the ministry of prayer. Prayer will move us to witness. Prayer will move us to give. But we need to be people that are praying. We need to spend time praying and meditating and fellowshipping and worshiping with God. And out of that will flow our Christian life. For a long time, we get that backwards. We need to start at the altar. We need to start in fellowship and worship with God. But this time at the altar, it involved the prayers of the saints. The prayers of the saints are kept by God. The prayers of the saints are answered by God. The prayers of saints have power with God. And the reason why is because we have an advocate. We have a heavenly Savior. And then number three, Amber, I missed one. There we go. There's suffering on the earth. Oh, we're just in the middle of the first part of the tribulation. We're about 20 months into it, give or take, maybe 24 months. And we see now as these trumpet judgments happen. It's hard to even begin to explain them. Well, let's just read a little bit and see if God can give us some wisdom. It says in verse number 7, it says, "The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth." Now notice what happens. "And a third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up." So this first one is a trumpet literally of devastation. Can you imagine, as this trumpet judgment is given, this is a trumpet judgment on the earth. We have people today that are worshiping the earth. We just had our president meet with many leaders around the globe, and they've decided that they're going to save the environment by charging bigger taxes or whatever. They're going to do this and they're going to do that. But I find it interesting that the one that created all of this one day judges it all. Part of it is because man has taken so much of it for granted. Man has taken clean air. Man has taken trees. He's taken the weather. Taken all of that for granted. And God's going to demonstrate that this judgment here, who is God. The first trumpet brings hail and fire mingled with blood. This may be a description of hail falling from the skies. It could be mingling with lava from volcanoes going off because there were earthquakes. So evidently there would probably be volcanoes and volcanic eruptions. This blood might be that of men and animals that have been killed up to this point. It could refer to the contaminated water droplets that have the appearance of blood. But the Bible says, in verse number 6, it says, or verse number 7, "The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood." All I can understand out of that, because we're going to take it literally unless God tells us something else. Somehow or another, this is blood mingled with it. Can you imagine with me for a moment what people are going to think? You've got hail and fire falling from heaven. I'm going to tell you, a hailstorm's pretty dangerous. We have some pretty bad hailstorms here in Indiana every once in a while. Our family was coming back from California. I don't know, it'd probably be in July. Would it be a late July, maybe early August? About 10 or 11 years ago. And we were driving back from California. We decided we were going to take a trip out west. And this was last time the prices of gas got so high. So we piled everybody together in a Suburban and drove all the way to California. I won't even tell you how much money we spent on gas. But there are places in California that we were paying $5.60 a gallon. And I'm telling you, you fill up a 30-gallon gas tank in a Suburban, and that'll make you catch your breath. Because you're thinking, I'm 2,400 miles from home, and I've got to fill up 9 more times between there. But we had a great time. It was a wonderful family vacation, and we made our way all through California, and we were running out of time, so we needed to be back. So we drove pretty much straight back. I think we stopped in Denver, Colorado, spent the night there, and then the next day we were on our way. And we're driving through Kansas, and if you've ever been through Kansas, that's all I can say about Kansas. You just drive through Kansas. It's just, it smells like a cattle lot. And you just drive, and you drive, and you drive. Amber was driving, and Amber said, I asked her, I said, how much gas do we have? She said, well, how about half a tank or a little bit less? I said, at the next place, let's go ahead and pull over. So we pulled over, and we got gas, and I think we got some snacks and stuff. And then we got back on the road, and then I started driving. And it wasn't 15 or 20 miles down the road that we started seeing white stuff all over the side of the road. Oh, what in the world is this? Well, we had just missed a major hailstorm. And the farther we went, we began to see the corn crops had been beaten down over hundreds of acres by huge pieces of hail. We got a little bit farther down the road, and there are cars all off the side of the road. Many of them with their windshields had big holes and cracks in them from the hail. We came up on one where there was an ambulance there, and it looked like some young people were riding in a Mustang convertible. And the hail had beaten the convertible top off. And it was devastating. And we only missed that just because we decided, you know, just peradventure. Amen. I believe God, as we look back at it, I believe God is protecting us. But we missed that by just a few minutes. But I'll never forget that scene, because whenever I read this, I think about that. And here in Indiana, we've had golf ball size hail, but can you imagine that day it looked like baseball size hail? And I cannot even begin to imagine that falling everywhere. And it would beat through car windows, and it would knock holes in roofs. And if you were walking in it, it would probably kill you if it hit you in the head. But that's what's going on here. The blood here is mingled with all of this. The storm of wrath falls upon the earth. And notice what happens. Because it's hail and fire, it burns up a third. Well, here, let's read it. It burns up a third part of the trees. The word trees there is a word that could mean fruit trees. So not just types of wood trees that we get lumber and all from, but this seems to be an attack on the trees that produce fruit that we eat. Remember, God is judging the earth, so the things that men are getting food from, and then all green grass was burnt up. Well, you know what I'm looking around right now, and I see all over, they're finishing up the crops. They've already got the winter wheat in, and that is a green crop. You know, winter wheat is pretty important, not only here, but all out west. You have the wheat fields. You have the different types of fields that the animals eat. All of a sudden, there's no grass. Now, it'll grow back, but could you imagine for, let's just say, 3 to 6 months, there's no grass? Those of us that mow grass are thinking, praise the Lord. Man, I'm all for that. But if you've got animals, guess what? You've got a bunch of dead animals. Oh, you may be able to buy hay, but hay all of a sudden is $500 a roll. How much is the price of beef? Chicken. You just go right on down the list. You look at this and you say, oh, it's not. So this is a big deal. This is a major issue. Wheat, which is used to produce bread, is a type of grass. Grass is used to graze livestock. So this judgment will have a tremendous impact on worldwide food supplies. That's just one. That's just one. Every time I read these, here's what I think. I am glad I am watching from the other side whenever this happens. But every time I read this, I think of this too. I know some people. I know some people that are going to be right here in this unless they're dead already. These events could be coming within 2 to 3 years of our life right now, because Jesus could come tonight. And all this right here would unroll. Let's look, see what the second angel does. By the way, as you read the text here, it's like one happens, another happens, and another happens, and it just keeps coming on. There have been times in my life that I have felt like, bang, there's one, bang, there's another, bang, there's another. But nothing like this. And the second angel. It says in the second angel, verse number 8, sounded. Now this angel blows this trumpet. And as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. Now note the wording here. It doesn't say a great mountain was cast into the sea. It says, as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. So what would that be? What in our world today, in our universe today, what could this possibly be? Could we say this is a possibility, this is a meteor? Something coming from outer space that hits the earth. We hear that all the time. Oh, we've got this meteor coming and this one, and whenever it, and this could happen. We were out in Arizona and I wanted to go to the one place that a meteor had hit, and it knocked a hole in the ground that was like 900 feet across and all kinds of things. And just a massive thing. And that was a small one. They said that meteor was estimated to be just a little bit bigger than a basketball. And I'm thinking, wow. Well, this one right here is large enough that whenever it hits, a third part of the sea became blood, and a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. So the first trumpet is a judgment on the earth. This right here is a judgment on the seas or the oceans. When the second trumpet sounds, an object like a fiery mountain is seen crashing into the sea. One third of the sea is contaminated. One third of all marine life dies, and one third of all human ships are destroyed. A meteor falling from space and hitting the oceans would be devastating. You think about it. If it destroyed one third of all the life in the sea, what happens to that life whenever it dies? It floats, rots, and you can imagine the ecological destruction of that. If you lived on the coast, it would be terrible. But it would contaminate so much. Say if one third was dead and they're fishing and they're fighting through all of that and trying to get the live fish up. Much of the world today survives off of food that comes out of the ocean. You cut that down, a third, just wiped out. It'd be devastating. Devastating. A meteor this size cast in a sea that kills a third part of the sea creatures would probably cause massive tidal waves. All right? One of the things that we kind of skip over is this. Notice at the end of verse number 9, it says, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. What kind of ships are on the ocean right now tonight? Just think with me. Name a couple different types. Fishing ships. We have fishing vessels, right? We have people that are trying to make a living fishing. We've heard about these and they're parked outside of the Los Angeles docks and the other thousands of cargo ships. How about cruise ships? How about naval vessels with sailors and soldiers and airmen on them? You begin to think, even at this point, there are going to be private boats out. People are going to be enjoying life. They're going all of the yachts, all of these things. A third of the cargo ships sink to the bottom. All of their freight, all their goods, gone. And we're not talking about Christmas toys from China. We're talking about foodstuffs. We're talking about things that people in nations need. There again, we're talking about wheat, we're talking about rice, we're talking about all those things. We're talking about oil tankers that all of a sudden are flipped upside down and go to the bottom. Can you imagine if there was just overnight, let's say right now tonight on the oceans, I started to Google it and I just forgot about it, but let's just say tonight there are 10,000 oil tankers on the world seas right now. Okay, just pull that number up. Can you imagine 3,000 of them sinking and their cargo floating up? Imagine oil slicks from 3,000 cargo or oil tankers. You've got the dead sea creatures. You've got the oil slicks for miles and miles. You've got hundreds, thousands of people that have died in this because their vessels sank. You have all the food stuffs. You have the boats that maybe are close to shore. You take like those cargo ships that are anchored outside of the port of Los Angeles and many of those other places. If a tidal wave came along and flipped them over, it would be really difficult for other ships to get in. It may be weeks or even months before those ports are opened back up. Mankind is very, very dependent on the resources he retrieves from the seas. When the oceans are taken away as a source of life and livelihood, here's the truth. Mankind will suffer from hunger and economic disaster like they've never known before. There's an interesting phrase. In verse number 7, it says it's fire mingled with blood. And in verse number 8, it says at the end of the verse, it says a third part of the sea became blood. A preacher from North Carolina that I read after, he said this. He said, I believe God is sending man a clear message. Man has rejected the blood of Jesus as the sole means of salvation. So God places blood before their eyes as a constant reminder that nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash away the stain of sin. Well, I don't know. Sounds good to me, though. Like I said, we'll take it literally until God tells us another way. So let's look at the third trumpet. We've got a few more minutes here tonight. Look at it with me in verse number 10. Verse number 10 says, the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. And a third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. This is an attack upon the rivers and the drinking water supply. We could call it the underground water supplies. Many believe that this is a comet, not just a meteor, but probably a comet. I'm not really sure. Apparently it has a name. All I know about the name is the name translated means bitter. Whenever you go and you follow it a little bit deeper, it refers to a plant whose leaves are used to create a type of toxic poison. So, there are some things in the book of Revelation that just go whoop, right over the top of my head. And I read after all the commentators and all that, and I still tell you sometimes I don't know. I will tell you this. Even though the star is called Wormwood, this is not the devil. I have read that. Some preachers said that this is a false preacher come down from heaven. No, very distinctly, if you read through the text and the whole context, this is a star that has fallen and it's hit the earth, and whatever it is made of makes all of the waters bitter and poison. Can you imagine? Now listen, read it again. Many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. A third part. Now we've seen that over and over again. A third part. A third part. A third part of the seas. A third part of the life. A third part of the trees. All of the grass. A third part of the water. Imagine with me for a moment. Tonight, if we only had a third part of the water that we could drink. We don't think that much about it. We're thirsty. We open up our bottled water, which, by the way, bottled water is really a big waste of money. Just drink it straight out of the tap. You say, but it has chemicals in it. So does that. And you're going to die anyways. And you might as well die with more money than, you know, spending on bottled water. But that's just Hobsonology. And I say that even with bottled water up here in the pulpit. What a hypocrite I am. Amen. But can you imagine? Can you imagine? Okay, I've got 3 bottles of water here. One of those dudes is bitter and it'll poison. Which one do you think I'm going to drink? None. But you understand, a third part of the water, does that mean bottled water too? Does God have the power to do that? Absolutely. Could you imagine the fear? Could you imagine the fear of opening up your tap, which almost nobody drinks tap water anymore, water out of the hose. I've been teaching my grandkids, hey, that's where water comes from right there. And don't you worry about it in the pond. You just scrape apart those leaves and all, and you just scoop it up and hold it in your hand for a moment and let the dirt and the muck go to the bottom of your hand, and you suck the top part of it out. And they're like, oh, cool, Grandpa. Amen. See, I'm teaching them all those little things. So in the middle of all this, they'll live. Hopefully they won't be here. Amen. But the fear, that's one of the things that I don't think that we can even begin to fathom, the fear that men are going to have during this time. The world as they know it has completely, radically changed. And it doesn't matter what all the news people say. Oh, it's all okay. And they'll show pictures of ships still coming in, and they'll show pictures of people sitting in restaurants and eating, and all the while the morgues will be chock full. One of the things that is not spoken of very much here is the social unrest, the upheaval that has got to be going on right now, because people are afraid and they're fearful. I got an idea that right now, life means very little to a lot of people. We're going to call this one right here the trumpet of death. Of death. Because whenever the drinking waters are poisoned, it is staggering how devastating it's going to be to people. I will go ahead and do the last one. We're here. Verse number 12, and the fourth angel sounded. And a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars. So as a third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. This is an attack on the sun and the moon. The stars, really. A third part. Evidently from this, sunlight is going to be dimmed. It could be dimmed from all of the fires. It could be dimmed from the smoke and all of that very easily. It wouldn't take much of a miracle for that to happen. It could happen. But then the day is going to be cut down. Well, what happens there? Grass grows basically at night. A lot of times, the grass and all doesn't grow very much in the daylight, in the hot sun. Because it kind of stops. But at night, in the darkness, it grows. But it requires a certain amount of daylight in order for it to grow. The trees, I'm not talking about oak trees. I'm talking about trees that produce food. If the day is cut down, if the stars are not in their place where men think they ought to be, when the fourth trumpet sounds, God turns the power of the sun down, the power of the moon, and the power of the stars. If he turns down the power of the moon, what happens to the tidal waves in the ocean? You know why the tides change in the ocean? They change and they move to cleanse the ocean of impurities. That's the reason why it moves back and forth like that. The tides are controlled by the moon, the gravitational pull. if that is cut down and the oceans do not move back and forth, remember, we've got oil slicks, we've got dead marine life, we've got all of that. And God slows down the recuperating or the recovery process. How bad all this could happen. It'll affect the growing seasons. Men will talk about climate change. We've just read about climate change right here. This is the worst climate change the world is ever going to see. Since the beginning of time, man has taken God for granted. Man has ignored Him. They've blasphemed Him. They have taken God's creation for granted. There have always been plenty of trees and green grass. There's always been plenty of oxygen to breathe. By the way, whenever the trees die and the grass dies, the carbon dioxide levels are going to raise and men are going to have a very difficult time breathing. There's always been plenty of fresh water to drink. The sun and moon and stars have always been in their places. He's always given their light. During the tribulation, God's going to take away all that that man's taken for granted. Man will be judged for his refusal to bow to God. And then lastly, verse number 13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, "Woe! Woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." We'll call this right here the testimony of doom. Of doom. I guess what this angel is saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. I can't even begin to imagine this. I really can't. To be perfectly honest with you, many of these events are almost fantasy. They're so hard for us to even imagine or believe. But we know this, they're going to be actual events and God is going to bring it to pass. Judgment, as I told you last week, I forget who said it. He said, judgment is simply love that's been rejected. Because men have rejected the love of God, then judgment's going to fall. How could this ever happen? It can happen because God is a God of love, but He's also a God of holiness. There are parts of Revelation that absolutely break my heart. To think that people won't go through that. I'm going to tell you something. There are going to be a lot of good people there. I know good people. Tina and I talk about this all the time. We know good people that are not saved. Honorable, honest, faithful to their spouses, great parents. But they've just rejected Jesus. God help us this week to be people of prayer. We need revival. We need revival in our church. We need revival in churches all across our community. We need revival in our own lives. May God burden us for somebody this week to share the gospel with. Let's get a gospel track. Let's pray about somebody. Because friend of mine, I don't want my friends and family to go through this. I don't. I just don't. And may God burden us to that. So let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this day. We're really overwhelmed with this chapter. We've just glossed over these events, and Lord, seeing them before they even happen is terrifying. And Lord, I pray for some of those folks that we know, we come in contact with, maybe some that have mocked, some that have rejected. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would not let them go. That they would truly consider their need to know You as their Savior. And Lord, help us as Christians to realize why we're here, what purpose we have. Help us to live out this week under the influence of the Spirit of God. And God, whenever you nudge us, when you prod us, when you convict us to share our faith, to invite somebody to church, to give them a gospel tract, Lord, help us to be obedient. Help us not to be so caught up in our everyday life that we forget why we're really here, to glorify you. And Lord, I pray that you would hold back judgment. I know, Lord, many in our world today, many of our nation, we pray for you to bless America. But God, tonight, I pray that you'd save America, that we would see a revival across our land. We'd see a revival in our lives, in our churches, in our families. And Lord, help it to begin with us. We love you, and we pray that you keep us safe this week. Well, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm done. God bless you, everybody. Have a great week. I'm glad you came tonight.